Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Time you can call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Appreciate everybody joining us today. It's November 1st. Last beginning of the end here. The November has started. And it's Thanksgiving, so don't forget about that. Okay. You might go to the store and you might see Christmas stuff out already and all that crap like that, but it's Thanksgiving. Okay? Okay, we don't start putting up Santa Claus until after Thanksgiving. Okay, that's my rule. All right? That's what my mother always did. That's what I do. Don't put anything up until after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a holiday. Thanksgiving is a different kind of day. November is a different kind of month. We even got, before Thanksgiving, we got Veterans Day, which is November 11th. And that's a big deal. And I just saw this morning that my favorite Harley dealership shop is having a party. It looks like everybody's having a party. If you follow the Harley dealerships, they have a party pretty much every other Saturday, and especially on the big days. So Veterans Day is Friday, November 11th. The 12th is Saturday. Saturday, the dealerships are going to have a party, and it looks like it's going to be pretty fun. Here down here, they're doing a car and bike show where – they're going to raise money for, you know, veterans benefits and stuff, charities. And you can enter the contest for free. Okay, so you enter the contest. You got a bike or a car you want to show. Well, people can vote. But in order to vote, they got to buy a ticket. So they got to buy a dollar and they can buy up to 20 per person. That way, you know, guy don't come in there with $1,000 and vote for one car. You know, whatever. So each individual shows up, pays $20 for 20 votes, and they can go vote. You know, they can go vote. So that's pretty awesome. I might do that. I got a 2020 Breakout 131. It is pretty sharp. And, of course, everybody loves looking at the 131. So I might do that. I might shine it up and go check that out. That probably means that I can't go on the ride. Well, no. We got all week. So it's next week, not this coming weekend. This coming weekend is other things. So yeah, that might be pretty fun. So tell me what you're doing. What you got going on this month? This November, there's a lot of different things going on. You trucking out there, let me know. 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Everybody's having a great time. Like I said, this is Red Neck and I's Red Neck and I's Radio Live. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can catch us right here. Also, go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. That is the website where you can find links to all of our social media accounts. We've got Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. That's right. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're doing a great thing over there. It's a lot of fun. And we've got a lot of great videos that I've put out in the past that has definitely did some good things. So go check that out. It's redneckandeyes.com. You can scroll down there and you can find all the little tabs to our social media accounts. You can click on the YouTube icon. It'll take you directly to our YouTube page. We got YouTube videos actually posted onto the website talking about safety and things like that, about what truckers can do to help out and what forwarders can do to help out around big trucks. So that's always a big thing. So go check that out, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody doing that. Before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is, who are we doing? That's right, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. That's the one we're doing. So go check those guys out, Trucker Tools. That's one of those, it's an app. You download it from your app store, or you can go check them out, truckertools.com. That's where you can book freight, you can track freight. Or if you're an owner-operator or independent, you know, you could book freight on there, whatever you got. Or if you're a company driver and you just want a place to, that's got trucker stuff on it, where you can find fuel stops, plan your route, get truck stops, parking, maintenance, Walmarts, shopping, whatever you need, right there, Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. Download it from your app store. And they're always trying to make it better, and it's a really great thing. So we appreciate all their support at Redneck and I. So go check them out, truckertools.com. The app for truckers. So, we're talking about things going on in the trucking industry. I got a little cool thing that happened on Fox Business website. So that's pretty interesting. We'll check that out. And like I said, hang out with us here a minute, and we'll talk about all things trucking and insane. That's what we do here. 515-602-9731. This is Redneck and I's Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. Welcome back here. So So we're talking about all things trucking and then some. This is Redneck and I's Radio Live, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just hit one. Like I said, if you got anything going on, let me know. A lot of things going on down here in South Texas. It's raining. Today it rained all day. And nothing much happening. But going to work tonight. This weekend, we got some demo days going for the Harley dealership. They're bringing out the demos where you can test ride CVO, trike, lowrider, all that stuff. They got it set up to where you can test ride any of their models that they bring out with the dealer truck. It's pretty fun because you're not dealing with the salesman. You know, you're just there's a guy there that is in charge of the truck, that is in charge of the stuff. You don't have to talk to the salesman. You just go over there, you know, got your motorcycle endorsement, helmet, and that's it, what I found out. There was a guy there, he didn't have any gloves. Most guys showed up there, didn't have any gloves. I was wearing gloves. I thought my whole thing was, is if you're riding a bike for the first time that you've never ridden before, it's like, bring gloves, because you don't know, you know, or bring everything. You know, if you've never ridden this type of bike, we were riding the electric bikes. Okay, they're like cross rockets. So if you're a Harley guy and you want to ride it, to me, I'd be dressed up in everything. But he had a helmet on and a jacket, and that was it. We get going. He stops at the stop sign, and because your feet are different, because it's a crotch rocket and not a Harley, regular Harley, he fell over, and he cut his hand, and the bike fell over. We picked it up. We got everything going. Then we got back to the dealership, and the guy says, "Oh, don't pick him up. Don't pick him up, because if it falls over, the battery could explode." I said, "But then what the hell am I riding it for?" I said, "That's crazy. I mean, bikes fall over all the time. I mean, you know, they shouldn't fall over, but they fall over. That's what happens." And he's like, you know, "Oh, leave it, come get me, because if it falls over, it could explode." What? Crazy. But anyway, I just thought, hey, shouldn't everybody be wearing gloves if you're out here riding bikes that you hadn't ridden before? You know, but people showed up, man. People showed up with T-shirts, you know. One guy showed up with a T-shirt. And he's got a motorcycle endorsement with it, and he's got a T-shirt on. He's got a helmet, no gloves, you know, and everything. And he, he get going down the road, and of course the T-shirt's flying up his back, and he's like freaking out. I was like, "Dude, what do you mean? That's what happens. We know that." Crazy. But anyway, like I said, that was. So we got more Harleys going on this weekend, and then next weekend, Veterans Day weekend is the next weekend. So Friday is the 11th, and then, of course, Saturday is the 12th, and we found out that there's going to be a bunch of parties going across with Harley dealerships. It's really cool. So if you're part of that, good luck to you, and it's a lot of fun. If you're a truck driver and you're out and about, let's say that you're just a truck driver and you get shut down for the weekend somewhere, find the Harley dealership, man. Chances are they're having a party. You know, it's every other Saturday. Get on Facebook, you know, look them up or whatever. That's cool. That's just cool shit. Because, I mean, so in Waco, if you're familiar with Interstate 35 right there in Waco, Waco has the deal where the Harley dealership is right next door to the Flying J. So if you're a truck driver and you're hanging out at the Flying J, you look over at the dealership, they're having a party, man. Go join them, you know. I mean, they got food, you know, and if you're okay with that, if your boss is okay with you having a beer or two and then sleeping it off in the truck, that's up to you. But it's you know, just watch out for that. But I mean, it's a party. You know, you can go if you're into Harleys, you can go talk to like-minded people. I was there. We were having Memorial Day weekend, and I was there, and they were giving out. They were having a raffle for a rifle. The local gun club there was donating a rifle to give away. And they were selling tickets. So that was a big deal. And it was a lot of fun. So that's cool stuff. Yep. And what we got here? Breaker. What's going on, Bob?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So now, in order to ride a motorcycle, you have to be in full leather, steel-toed boots, respirator, helmet, and everything to ride a motorcycle.
No, you don't have to be. That's the thing.
I'm missing something here.
That's what I found out. You don't have to be. If you
because
I mean, what?
Way back way back, the older riders asked them what they rode around with just leather vest on. No shirt, no T-shirt, no nothing, just leather vest.
And
there are women riding on the back with their tatas hanging out, beating in the wind. And that was fine. Nobody needed a T-shirt or a leather jacket or whatever. Yeah, boots I can see. You know, long pants I can see, but not necessarily. I mean, why? Why would you? We got guys out here now wearing, wear white beaters and flip-flops and yoga shorts or yoga pants and stuff driving trucks. So why the hell should riding a Harley Davidson be different than riding a Peterbilt or a Volvo?
Well, you're freaking crying for nothing. I'm not saying that you had to. I'm just saying the guy shows up, never ridden this motorcycle before ever. He's never ridden the motorcycle ever. And to beat all off, he's like 70-something years old, and he's never ridden this electric bike at all ever. You would think that he would have a little bit more caution into what he's wearing so that he can prepare for something bad to happen, but it's not – that wasn't his case. He thought he could handle it. And
yeah,
I guess that's the problem, you know, because, I mean, to me, it's like if I've never ridden this bike before, I'm going to be a little extra cautious because I don't know how it handles. I don't know how it feels. I don't know how my feet feel when I hit the ground, that kind of stuff. So I was a little bit more cautious.
But you did say that he forgot to put his feet down and fell over he'd never ridden that type of bike.
Well, no, what he did.
It doesn't matter what kind of a bike you ride, if it's a bicycle or a motorcycle.
Yeah.
When
you go to
stop, you put your feet down.
Well, what it is was he got his foot caught in the peg because it's like a harder metal peg instead of the ones with the cushions on them and all that. So his foot didn't slide right off like he had planned on it, you know. It took longer to get off. He wanted to slide his foot off the peg, not pick his foot off take his foot off the peg. He wanted to slide it off the peg, you know. And I saw him. He was trying to move his foot, and he couldn't get his foot off the peg. And it was like,
I think Buford T. Justice said it best in Smokey the Bandit when he said, "What in the hell is the world coming to?"
Tell me, man. Because to me, I'm all mindful.
They can take their electric bikes and shove them up their ass right along with their cars and their trucks and everything else.
No, I mean, I said it yesterday, I probably wouldn't own one unless I had a bunch of money that, you know, if I was a millionaire and I had tons of money to throw around, you know, that's probably something I'd like to have fun with because it's fun, dude. You that sucker goes. It moves. But I wouldn't want to buy one. I wouldn't spend money on one if, you know. You know, one guy was talking about buying it just so he can have something to ride to work. And I'm like, what happens if it rains? It's like, you know, what? Why would you want to ride a bike?
There's just something about a electric bike and Harley Davidson that just don't freaking jive. Like I said before, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Harley tried that a few years ago and it flopped too. Because the older, now we're getting into the new younger generation that just, you know, they don't know what it's about. I mean, it just, who in the hell wants to associate yourself riding a Harley Davidson? What
I don't
are you
know who's
do?
In charge.
But,
I don't know who's in charge of the Harleys, but they're changing. They're not making, like, they stopped making the Sportster. They stopped making a lot of these other bikes that people liked. But they're keeping in the old, you know, the old schools, the Street Glides and all that. But they come out with that Pan American, which is like an off-road tall bike that looks like a Kawasaki, you know. And then they come out with the Livewire. And what they've done too with this electric bike is they've completely taken the Harley name off the electric bike. They don't call it Harley.
I don't blame them. They should.
Yeah.
That'd be embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. But, you know, it's one of those deals where I think you're right. I think they are kind of changing. I think everybody's kind of changing.
They're going to keep on until Harley's going to keep on until they're going to put themselves out of business too, pissing around with Joe and his green energy bullshit, just like everybody else. You know, it's not going to happen. The world is not ready for all this electric shit. It's not. It's not ready. It's you can't do it. The technology. They can get all the technology they want, but it's not there. It can't handle it. The grid can't handle it.
Well, even the guy pushing, the guy there selling the live wire, the electric bike, all the people there that were like selling it, they were saying it's not a bike designed to go on road trips. It's an around town bike. And because we think about it, we were having this conversation with like, okay, so if you had this bike, it only goes like 100 miles. In fact, he said that the federal government requires the bike to only have a max of 110 miles. So the max battery load only goes 110, and that's a federal law. And I'm like, what? That's weird, you know, but that's what they say. And then, but we look, there's no infrastructure. You can't just go out on any road for 100 miles and stop and just charge the bike. You can't do that. There's not, the charging stations don't exist. You know, you can't just pull off the side of the road to a little small little town where there's a little 7-Eleven, and there's no way to plug it in there. You can get gas. They got gasoline. They even got diesel, some of them. But you can't.
Yeah, it might not have for long.
I know, right? Right. So that's the thing too. Is you know you can't plug. You know, the taking road trips even on the highway. To me, I feel sorry for these people that in these Teslas, if they're traveling like to and from Houston or to go to San Antonio and all that, it's like, so how do you plan your road trip? Because if you're going somewhere, you better make sure that you know where you're going to stop to plug in.
I don't feel sorry for them. I don't feel a damn bit sorry for them.
Well, you know.
I don't feel sorry for them at all. If I see one of them walking, I'm going to blow the horn, wave at them, and give them a thumbs up, say, hey, there you go, buddy. How you like your electric car now?
And that, you know, because we've even got truck drivers that can't even plan a route, right, and get down the road and not break down and know where to go or know who to call.
I don't know.
Yep. But yeah, I was just going to go over here to see there was a report on Fox News Business. Fox Business says diesel disaster, truckers working for peanuts amid surging prices. And it says diesel supply crunch is surging prices in Las Vegas. Trucks drivers worried about how to make ends meet and warned that small trucking companies could fold. Well, they already started because we.
I don't feel sorry for them either.
It says truck drivers told Fox News they're struggling to make money as diesel prices surge amid worsening shortages. And
they could have put an end to that shit a long time ago, but nope. They wanted to save the world, so now they're saving it. How they like it.
Yep. I mean,
I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy for the American truck driver right now or the trucking industry or anybody else that wants to sit around and crap for them out because they've done it to themselves. They can stop this bullshit in a heartbeat. But nope, everybody, they still want to continue to fight amongst themselves, all cheap-ass freight, cut each other's throats, you know, to get pennies on the dollar. And then sit around and bitch because they're starving, they're going broke, they're losing their trucks, they can't afford to fix their trucks. I have no sympathy for them.
Yeah,
I have no sympathy whatsoever. You sow what you reap what you sow.
Yeah, I mean,
how you like it?
Yeah, that's the thing is that I was just talking about it yesterday. Actually, I don't know if you know that our good fan Chris over there on YouTube called in yesterday because he's thinking about buying a truck. He's hauling containers out there in Virginia, and he's looking at buying a truck. He found a 2000 XL Classic, and of course he just, you know, he's asked about it, and the guy's wanting 37 for it. You believe that?
Oh yeah, he'll get it too.
Yeah, so I told him, I said, man, do all your digging, don't get in no hurry. But he was asking about the diesel fuel shortage, and I said, well, I wouldn't think there would be a big shortage. You might get some delays, like, and the fuel prices are going to go up. And I said, but that's not my biggest problem. My biggest problem is the entire economy is about to take a dump. There's, you know, he said that the reason why he was thinking about it is because he only worked 37 hours or 34 hours last week because they didn't have enough work for him. I said, that's not the company's problem. That's an industry problem. Freight's dying.
The price of the fuel I'm not going to say it's not the problem, because it is. The fuel should not be as high as it is.
Right.
But if the rates and the fuel surcharge, if the drivers were getting the fuel surcharge like they should be, instead of the brokers and the companies skimming it all, if they was getting that and the rates was following the fuel prices up, then it wouldn't matter if the fuel was $10 a gallon. You would still be able to make a decent living.
That's right.
Yeah, the consumer, we're going to trickle down. We're going to pay for it by higher prices on everything. But no, you got the brokers out there that's taking all the money. We know it's happening. It's proven. It's a proven fact. Look, Donnie called today, my buddy Donnie. He's been sitting down in Mississippi since, I think, last Thursday. 4 days he sat down there. Good, can't buy nothing coming back up this way because he's getting ready to go on vacation, but whatever. He called today about the only load that he could come up with that they had was a cheap-ass load of lumber that had to be tarped, 48,000 pounds of lumber, coming back up to Andover, Ohio, up above Youngstown. And that stupid-ass broker agent, whoever had it, told him the rate on it was $1,500 plus like $700 in fuel or something to bring a load of lumber out of Mississippi up there, $1,500. Now, they got $1,500, but you get it up there, go into Lowe's or Home Depot and try to buy a 2x4 and see what it costs you.
Yeah, yeah.
Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
They could take their cheap-ass lumber and their cheap-ass freight and shove it up their ass. And I don't want to hear trucking industries, drivers, I don't want to hear nobody crying about how bad they got it. Because all they have to do is go home, shut the son of a bitch down. If they're starving out here on the road, you might as well go home and sit at home and go broke as to go broke out here and wear your equipment doing it. So,
yeah.
No, I have no sympathy for them.
Well, see, here's my saying to that, okay? I'm not an owner-operator. I'm a company driver. Let me tell you this right now, okay? If you're an owner-operator out there saying, I don't know how to make it. I can't make it. These big carriers, the big carriers, they're making it. You know why? Because they're telling them, I ain't hauling it from that. They're telling
them. No, I believe you're wrong there. It's
no,
not that
so.
They're not telling them that, we're not hauling it for that. Look at what the drivers are taking home driver's wages at. These drivers, you said it 100 times. The drivers aren't getting paid for what they do. They're not getting sufficiently. They're not getting paid for what the way they work and what they do.
Well, see, so here's the thing though. There are companies out there not paying drivers because they're over the road drivers. They're not paying them, but there are companies out there. There are companies out there paying drivers good. And they're the ones that are telling them no. They're saying no. They're saying we're not hauling that freight. I don't know who it is, but there's several out there that are doing that. The bigger companies, the Swifts and the Schneiders, we said the other day, they're telling the customer, this is what you're paying us, and you're going to have to pay it, and they're paying it. The problem is they've got their own brokerage accounts, and they're saying, hey, owner-operator, I can only give you this much. That's what they're
exactly.
doing.
Exactly. They're not hauling it. They're brokering the shit out on their own logistics and brokerage.
Right. And they
can't
got,
afford to run them trucks either.
Yeah. And they've got company drivers that have been there 10 years making damn good money. But the problem is they ain't enough of them. You know, they need 1,000 drivers and they only got maybe 100 or 200 that have been there 10 years that are making damn good money. Everybody else has been there for less than 6 months and they're the ones making 22 cents a mile. You know, or barely can make a living because they don't know what they're doing. That's the problem. But I tell you what, I think the customers are paying it because inflation. We see it. We see the customers paying for the freight. The shippers. It's the brokers or whoever's booking the freight to putting it out there to the carriers. Because I mean, we got owner operators out there. You know, I've talked to them. You've met them, where they do great. Because they've got their customer. They've got that one customer they take care of, or the two or three customers they take care of, and they went directly to the customer. They're independents. I tell you who's scamming us is the brokers. The brokers are the ones, you know, they're the ones.
Exactly. But it's just like that owner-operator that's got that one good customer that they think is so good. If he don't watch his ass, one of them mega carriers come in there and say, hey, look, you know, I don't know what he's doing it for, but we can haul that load for $500 or $600 cheaper, and we got more trucks we can cover whenever you need it. He will lose that account.
That's
it
true.
Might not be overnight, but he will lose that.
Well, I think
Everybody, every business is out here, company is out here trying to get stuff hauled as cheap as they can get it hauled. They don't give a damn how pretty your truck is, how
right.
fast it is. They don't care. They're looking at their bottom line. How cheap can I get this boat hauled? And I said it, and I'll say it again. They put all these rules and regulations on the drivers and on the trucking companies. When in the hell is the government going to open their fucking eyes and go back in, excuse me, but start looking into these brokers and start looking at them and see what they're doing? Rules and regulations with the fuel surcharge and the brokerage rates and shit, there is no sense in a damn broker taking over half or better than half of that money off of that load and putting it in their pocket. And they have no oversight, no recourse against them because nobody looks into them. But we got FMCSA pissing up our necks every time we turn a corner, but they do whatever they want to do, and there's nothing said about it. Nobody looks into their finances.
Right.
Get them IRS agents to start digging into their accounts.
Yeah, and well, you know what they do too is that as soon as they get caught doing something, like they might do something where they don't pay a driver, or
they go out of business.
Like then they just go out of business and then start up a new business under a different state, different company, different state. Yeah. Half of them agents that I knew, they didn't even speak good English. So you know, it's crazy.
That's what I said. You look at when you go to work tonight, you look at every truck that goes by you. Just pay attention every truck that passes you. Look at that DOT number on that truck. I remember when they started out 4, 5, and when the six-digit numbers, now they're up into the sevens and eights. It's We Be Truck and Joe Blow Truck and every truck, every kind of trucking company you can think of, and they got a 6, 7-digit DOT number, fly by night. Half of the names on the side of the trailers is an Iranian or Somali or whatever, or whatever. You can't even, you don't even know what the hell the name of the company is.
The other night I was noticing every other trailer that passed me, every other trailer, the trailer's license plate number was Mexican on the trailer. The trailer had a Mexican tag, every trailer. I mean, it was like every other trailer. And Mexico, you could tell too, if you go down the road, like on Interstate 35, it's really getting big. I don't know if you see it up there, but on Interstate 35 down here in San Antonio, Austin, what happens is the truck in the window has like a flashing yellow light. And the trailer on the back top of the trailer has a flashing yellow light, just flashing, just off and on, like a school bus. And that's now a thing in Mexico where you've got to have a flashing yellow light to identify a big truck going down the road. And so coming down the highway, you see that trailers will all have like flashing yellow lights. You look down at the license plate and it's got a Mexican tag. So, and the trucks are the same way. You know, the cross border thing, everybody's talking about it, how it was a pilot program and all that. It's been going on for years. You know,
it ain't nothing new.
Yeah. That's probably why our big reason why Texas freight is still pretty cheap down here. It's not, you know, you got to do something really good to make a good living in Texas, because even hauling pipe, you know, from West Texas or from Houston to West Texas and all that, it doesn't pay that much, you know. And the frac sand stuff, they all the drivers love it. They can make $2,000 a week doing that, and then all of a sudden you're not working for 3 weeks, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, it's a hit and miss, but yeah, you see that it's all over the place. And then like you're saying, not only is the DOT number 6 or 7 digits, but half of the trucks they're missing half the left fuel tank is missing, or you know, the fender's gone, or you know, the headlights being held on by duct tape, and you know, the mirrors kind of, you know, made shift or whatever. So yeah, that's what we see.
All right? That's why I've said that, too. You go out here on the interstate, you run up down the road, long, you know, over the road, drivers. You know, they're on us like stink of shit, man. I mean, the least little thing, and they're writing you up for it. You go into the big cities. You go into and I'll use cities up here, Chicago, Detroit, you know, any of these bigger cities. Go into them cities and look at all these local trucks running around in there that's just crosstown, local trucks in there. Look at the shape that them trucks are in. Tires are bald. They're, you know, fenders ripped off of them. Like you said, mirrors put on where with zip ties or duct tape.
Yeah.
You know, and nothing said. You never see the DOT, you know, have them in there, have a big blitz in there and stop them. But they want to go out here and brag about their 72-hour DOT blitzes out here and their safety weeks and all this. Shove it in their ass. I got something for their 72-hour deal.
Yep.
And you know, I'm getting tired of them bragging about that when they take 1 or 2 or 3 weeks a year and they want to go out there and hammer everybody when they should be doing that shit every single day of their life. That's what they're getting paid for, to come out here and DOT trucks and check trucks.
Well, today you could have ran up and down South Texas all day and nobody would have stopped you for anything because it was raining all day. So we know that DOT.
That's what I'm saying. As soon as the weather gets bad, you don't see them. That's like up here. The last couple of weeks, they've been bad up here running around. Yeah, because the weather's been nice. Because they know the snowstorm's coming here sooner or later. As soon as the temperature drops to, you know, 0, 10 degrees, snow starts flying, you know, freezing rain or something, you don't see no DOT. The safety stops when the weather's bad. When the weather gets nice, that safety picks back up. That's bullshit. Safety don't stop when the weather's bad. You know, you're not safer when the weather's bad than you are when it's nice.
Well, it's just like our argument about the hurricane relief. You know, safety doesn't really matter when they need supplies. When they need it real bad.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, oh, you can drive more than 11 hours. We don't care. You know.
Yeah, drive all you want to, you know, because we need you.
Yeah, 85,000 gross, that's fine. Just come on. You know, 90,000, that's fine. Bring it on because we need it.
But soon as that's over with and then regulations goes back in, you get caught 15 minutes over your 70 or 15 minutes over your time, and you go, oh, my God, now you're out of service, $200 to $300 fine, and, you know, points on your CSA. Really? Give me a break. That's what I said. I have no sympathy for the trucking industry anymore. They get exactly what they ask for.
Yep. That's. I mean, you know, you see it all the time. I mean, when this last hurricane came down here, down in Florida, and, you know, everybody was talking about getting relief. I mean, we were telling them right here on YouTube and on our radio show right here. We're like, drivers, if you're being set, if they say, hey, we got this load, you can go. Drive legal. Make sure it's legal. If it ain't legal, don't run it.
Right.
Because they want you to run illegal. They would let you run illegal if the general public was okay with it, you would run illegal all the time. They would force you to. That's what happened. That's the reason why Jimmy Hoffa got all
get
out of shape, is because nobody cared that he had to drive 20 hours a day. Okay? So, but now people care. So you
have you heard anything lately about Matt and Pat and Crash and all that?
No.
No, man, years ago, they was, man, every time something moved, every time a truck moved, you had them lobbyists out there, man. They was just raising hell with us. Well, I haven't heard hardly shit about it booed from them in the last several years.
Well, I think the reason why you haven't heard from them is because they've actually grown to the size where they can afford. They probably got some private money somewhere from these lawyers, but they've got the lawyers now, so they don't need to protest because, like OIDA, they got a seat at the table. OIDA's like, you know, we work really hard for that seat at the table. I said, yeah, but the table now has 30 people and they're all against you, so you know. Your seat doesn't matter anymore, you know, because all the people that are around there, they all want to shut you down, and you're okay with that, you know. Just like Republicans talking about how they're going to fix things. No, you're not going to fix nothing because you're going to cave, you know. Nobody's talking about investigating anybody. Nobody's talking about that, you know, and all this, and American people are like, oh, can't we all just get along? No, we can't. People are evil. There are bad people out there that need to be punished. And y'all are just letting it happen. You know, just like the whole morality.
The only way you know, call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever they want to call me, but I, my opinion is they're going to keep on to the shit's going to have to go back to the Wild West. The only way that you're going to take your country back is the people in this country is going to have to wake up and up or uprise and take it back forcefully. To hell with the government, to hell with their elections. You're going to have to start saying, look, enough is enough. We're going to stop this shit right here once and for all.
Yeah,
that's the only way that anything's going to, you can't do it through politicians. They're all crooked.
Yeah, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get your sheriff, your local sheriff, to create your county or whatever area you want to create. And you know, they were letting those crazy Antifa people have their autonomy zones up there in Portland and in Minnesota. I mean, they just did a documentary on one of the conservative apps that I listen to. You go up there to Minnesota right now, over there, the George Floyd Square, so-called it, the area where George Floyd actually was arrested and all that. That there's no cops. There's no cops there. There's nothing there. Everything is there's a burnt school bus still sitting in the road. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. They don't care, you know, and all that. And the only way that's going to happen is that this side, the other side, the side that's about law and order says our law and order exists here, yours doesn't, and you get out. So you need to, like, if I was a politician, I would tell people the first thing I'm going to do when I get elected is I'm going to take the local FBI office. If you guys don't know, there is a local FBI office here in Corpus Christi. If I was running for Congress in this district, I would say the first order of business is to close that FBI office. They don't need to be here. And you're like, well, yeah, well, they need no. Go set up. You want to go set up somewhere? Go set up in Houston where the liberals want you. You don't get to set up here. You don't get to set up anywhere you want. You don't get to be covert. I mean, basically, they are covert. Nobody knows that there is an FBI office here unless you've been there, unless you've seen it. You know, there's no sign on the building that says this is the FBI. You know, that's crazy. Okay. You know, that's what I hate. I hate when cops are like have an office where you don't know there's a cop there. I hate it. I hate that.
You said it right there, though, when you said you got to get with your local sheriff and have them see if you can get them to determine. No, that's the problem.
Hmm.
We have been asking government officials, asking politicians, asking this one and that one to straighten this problem out. For years, Ed. Years. They've been asking. The people have been asking them, begging them to straighten this mess out. And they keep doing what they want to do because they know once they're in there for damn near life. You know, you got to quit asking them and start making them do it.
That's true. I mean, you know, well, the problem is that, yeah, I don't think there's enough people asking.
What's everybody preach? Straight the numbers.
I've said it here. I said it here last week. The federal government, people are too focused on the federal elections. We're worried about who's going to be senator. We're worried about who's going to be governor. You know who we should be worried about is who is going to be sheriff. That's who we – if you're out there voting and looking at candidates to vote for, who cares who the senator is? Who cares who the governor or the president is going to be? Who's your sheriff? Does anybody know who the name of your sheriff? I don't know the guy's name. I've seen pictures of him, but I forgot the guy's name. I don't know his name. I haven't seen him enough around town or on TV or in the news to know his name. I don't know who our mayor. Oh, I know the lady. I know she's the mayor and all that. But, like, that's who's affecting the life of everybody. People don't understand that your local politicians are the ones who are affecting your problems. The biggest problem is that with the way we've structured everything, people have forgotten that. Nobody cares. It's Biden's fault or it's Trump's fault. No, it's whoever's running your town. That's whose fault it is. That's who you got to focus on. Nobody focuses on that. Nobody cares who's in charge of the city or the county. They only care who's in charge of the country. And that's the problem.
That's right. It's the people's fault. It's our fault.
Oh, yeah.
Not the government. Oh, yeah. It's our fault.
I said it last week. I said you know what? Democracy sucks. You know, everybody says that with the threats to democracy and Trump's bad and all that. I came back from that Trump rally, and you know what I said after the Trump rally was, Americans are really shitty at picking leaders. We are not good at picking leaders. You look at all the people out there running for office right now. They're shitty people. We shouldn't be allowed to vote for these people. We shouldn't be allowed to pick from these people. We shouldn't be allowed to pick, period, because we pick – I mean, look who we pick. We picked AOC. You know, we picked, you know, the crazy people. I mean, even Herschel Walker, I mean, he's an idiot, okay? I'll just tell you that right now. I don't care how cool he is or you know, he's a great athlete and he's done, you know, but he's an idiot. He's crazy. You know, it's he's not – he doesn't understand. You know, I just, you know, and that's
right.
The thing is,
everybody thought that, everybody said that about Trump too.
Yeah.
Everybody thought that about Trump too. He was a businessman. He was a businessman. He's not got no political background. He's a businessman. He ain't going to do nothing. Look what he did. You don't know what somebody's capable of doing until you give them a chance. See, that's just like this industry right here. You know, I it's like truck drivers. All right, I'm going to use that. There's a lot of good people out here that would be good truck drivers.
Yeah.
But they can't get a chance because it's like everything else. They said, well, you ain't got no experience. Well, how in the hell are you supposed to get experience if nobody will give you a chance?
I mean,
I'm not saying that they need to let, you know, 18, 17, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids out here in these trucks. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there is a lot of people out here and may have a little bit of a sketchy background because they did something in their younger years that they may be not so proud of. They screwed up. They was young and they messed up. Now they're being penalized for that the rest of their life.
Oh, yeah.
When they could actually be good people.
Well, yeah.
We got enough American, U.S. citizens right here in this country to fill these trucks out without bringing all these illegals and these immigrants in here and putting them in trucks that can't even speak English. Can't read, write, speak English. When they walk into a shipper and show them a phone and they got to read this shit, no. I got a problem with that.
So I'll add to the fact of the people that are getting the bad rap, of the guys that don't have a shot, I think another big problem with that is that they enter into a training program and that training program sucks. So when they can't pass,
who's training them?
Well, that's the thing. We got idiots training. You know, the people
exactly.
In the training.
Exactly. You answered your question.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I totally agree. The training system, like we got to train. We got people that became trainers here, and they so they're supposed to when the new guy comes in, they're supposed to train him. Well, technically, the way the book is written, they need to spend 2 weeks to four weeks with the guy in order to get him done. After 3 days, they turn him loose because they're like, oh, no, we got too much work to do. Get out there and do it. Get out there and do it. Then when he messes up, oh, shame on you. Why'd you mess up? You didn't train him. You're supposed to be with him for at least 2 weeks, and you only spent 3 days with him, and now you expect him to be perfect. That's to me, that's unfair because the guy needed to be trained, and you didn't train him. And that's the fault of the industry that's there because,
right?
You know, training doesn't make money. You can't make money training. Training costs money, but the benefits of good training is well way worth more than, you know, sending a guy out there and get, like you're saying, he's going to go out there without the proper training. He's going to mess up, and the only person that gets blamed is that driver. That driver. That's
exactly.
The driver.
Exactly. There's a problem. When
yep,
that company
it.
Says that he's been properly trained, if they send him out and they train him and they come back and they say he has been properly trained, he's certified, he's good to go. When that driver goes out and screws up and kills somebody or hurts somebody, yes, then he faces all the penalty. He's
yep.
The one that's sitting in prison, not the
yep.
Company. The company's insurance writes it off. They put somebody else's ass in the seat of the next truck, and down the road they go. They never lose a penny other than the lawsuits, which they write that shit anyhow. What
yep.
Needs to happen is whoever in that company, right up to the head, to the CEO, needs to be held accountable for that driver not being properly trained and killing that person.
Yep. Especially things
so
that
if he goes out and kills somebody, hurts somebody, then that CEO needs to face charges, too, for him not being properly trained. If they determine that the cause of that was because he wasn't properly trained, they need to face charges too, not just the driver.
That's right. I agree. Yeah, now, so I don't know.
It is what it is.
But you know what was on Fox News earlier? Your favorite guy was on there, the Congressman Tim Ryan and that J.D. Vance.
He's an idiot.
Oh, I know. They just had a little town hall with Brett Baer on there. And the funny thing was that there was a business owner that made this little video from a business owner in Ohio. And the business owner said that he goes, I need information. I need to support. I want to support a candidate that favors immigration reform. We don't have enough workers in the United States. That's what that business owner said. The business owner says there's not enough people in the United States to fill the jobs that are needed to be filled. And no politician.
Bullshit.
Yeah, but the politician needed to say that guy's crazy. That's not right. And they didn't. Neither one of them would say that. They would say, "Oh yeah, I understand. You know, and I'm for immigration reform. You know, legal immigration. Da 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 da." No, no, no. First off, I'm going to address the issue at hand. You said there's not enough workers. You're lying. That's bullcrap. If you really wanted a guy to get a job, you'd pay him. Okay. The problem is. The job that needs to be done, it's not going to be paid a lot, so you need a lower-skill worker. The lower-skill worker is making way too much money sitting on his ass because the government's giving him welfare, food stamps, you know, whatever. You know, or they live with their parents, or they live with a family member or a friend, and nobody is telling that person, you're a drag on me, you're a drag on the system, you need to stop, you need to get out of here, you need to go to work. Nobody's saying that, you know. So they don't have to go to – as long as nobody's making – you know, they don't go to work. The only thing that J.D.
Vance –
I've
heard out of Biden's mouth. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, the only thing that J.D. Vance did say about the border when it relates to the labor is that the drugs getting all over the – you know, coming across the country, the fentanyl and all that, you've got a lot of young people in their 20s. They're hooked on drugs, which makes them not work. They don't work because they're on drugs. And they're incapable of getting a job because they're hooked on drugs, or they can't keep a job because they're hooked on and that kind
of
thing.
So fuck them. You quit giving them the Narcan. Quit giving them all that. They know that it's wrong. When they go into it, they know that it's wrong. Quit giving them all this, offering all this. You know, you got people with the Narcan. I've seen it right there and right around where we're at. They go out and somebody overdoses. They smack them with Narcan. They turn them loose. And that afternoon, they're right back doing the same one again. You get one free shot. That's it. You get one time. You got one shot deal. If you go do it again, you freaking die. It's that simple. I'm not saving your ass. It's not up to us to save you. You got people sitting in prison doing life sentences because they smoked weed back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
I know people that's in jail right now, or they've got because of a little bag of weed, you know, or you know, whatever. And they're still sitting in jail. Now the shit's legal, and they're dispensing it and giving it to these people. And we got people sitting in prison right now with life sentences because they got caught back then. When they legalized it, they should open the door. Anybody that was in there that was picked up for basically a misdemeanor, you know, marijuana charges and shit like that back in them years, they should have turned them loose, said, go, you're good. So how's it fair? So you got to understand why the people is up for it. Yeah. It's not fair. The system is not, it's not an equal system here. It's bullshit. I'm tired of it. You know, as old as we are, we're not on drugs.
Yep.
You know, and we work every day for a living. All right, if you got pain, you got some kind of a physical, you know, something, you know, medical, you know, is something medically wrong, then that's what doctors are for. Go to a doctor, whatever, get treated for it, let him remedy it, give you some kind of a remedy for it, or
You know, you just go out and self-medicate with anything you find on the street just because you think it's cool. Give me a break. Let the just shut it down and let that stupidity weed itself out.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest problem is too many people, they expect to be pain-free. Let me tell you something, man. I ache every day, okay? You know,
me too.
Something hurts every day, and you just got to deal with it.
Tylenol is my best friend.
Yeah, and even then, not even that effective, but you still got to do it, you know. And it,
exactly.
Still get it done, you know, so yeah. Yeah, I agree.
All right, Ed. Well, it's the end of the hour, so it's time for you to go to work.
Time for me to go to work. Hell yeah, well, man.
Get to work so you pay your taxes so we can help keep these lazy bastards a couple more days.
I know, right? Hey, you know what you're talking about, shutting down, you know, it's like, you know what will really crash the system is if a lot of people just stopped what they were doing and went on the dole, man. Just go down to your local unemployment office, go down to your local food stamp office, you know, apply for all those benefits because chances are they're going to get them whether you deserve them or not. And because the people
They wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
This country would not have to, Ed. The trucking industry alone. If these guys would quit with their fucking truck shows and bullshit and wake up and look what's going on, just go home. Everybody go home and take their 34-hour restart all at the same time. You're going to do it sooner or later anyhow. Everybody just do it all at the same time. Say from this day to this day, everybody's going to do a restart. 34 hours. Can you imagine what it would look like out here on the road without any kind of a truck out here on the road moving anywhere for 34 hours?
Yeah, because you don't even get that on the holidays. Even on Thanksgiving and Christmas, there's still lots of trucks going down the highway.
Exactly.
Yep.
Everybody just go home. Just stop. Say, I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, I can't afford to go home. I can't afford to take the time off. Well, look at you now. You're out here working every day, running your ass off day and night out here, living in a truck, and you're sitting there bitching that you're losing everything you got. As Trump said it best, what have you got to lose?
Yeah.
Take a shot at it. What have you got to lose?
I think that's right. I mean, I think that's even doing it then. Even everybody go home for Thanksgiving. Everybody just go home. Don't even try to make extra money. Just go home for Thanksgiving and just tell them, I'm taking the week off. I'm taking the weekend off or whatever. You know, just tell them.
Yeah, they're not going to fire you because they're already bitching that there's a driver shortage, so these companies ain't going to fire everybody.
Yeah, and even if they do threaten to fire you, go home. If the company has 1,000 drivers and 300 of them all go home for Thanksgiving,
they ain't firing nobody.
They ain't firing nobody. Yeah, it's that.
No, they ain't firing you.
No, they ain't firing you. These companies they're all complaining. Everybody says there's a driver shortage. You go online right now, they're all looking for truck drivers. So you golden ticket is what you got. You can do whatever you want to do. You just tell them this is what I do. I work. But then on this day, I'm going home, and don't let them dictate to you. And I mean, especially during the holidays.
Hey,
because if you ain't making money.
What did I just do with the last company I was with? Did you know what kind of money I made?
Oh yeah, yep.
And that's I told them, screw you. Yep. You're not going to tell me when I'm going to work, when I can go home, how long I can stay home, when I got to do this. I own the truck. That's why I bought a truck, so I can control my life. So I could spend time with my family. I bought a house to live in, not a truck. I chose to drive a truck to make a living, to support my family and pay for my home. I didn't choose to live in a damn truck. And that's why I walked away from it. Do I regret it? Sometimes. But then I think, you know what? Was it really worth it? The job wasn't worth it if you're going to let them control your life. I might as well, you know.
That's every aspect.
So hell with it.
Company drivers, owner operators, and you know, everybody that you just like you saying, if you have to stay out on the road for you know, seven days out of the week and you can't afford to take any time off, you know, then your family's missing you. You're not seeing your family. You're not seeing your friends. You know, you're not spending quality time. You know, you're doing what you want to do. You know, I mean, I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
I love driving truck, but I don't love it that much.
Well, I like driving too, but just like over there, I was going out. I was out 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and I averaged sitting 3 days a week. Three to four days out of seven, I was sitting at a truck stop waiting.
Now, what the hell? If I could sit 3 or 4 days waiting for the next load, I might as well sit at home.
Yep.
Because you're costing you money out here. You got to shower. You got to eat. You got to. If it's hot, the truck's got to run. You got to stay cool. You got to stay warm, APU or not. You're still put wear and tear on you, on your body, on the truck. Not the mental, you know, it's just mental as well as physically. It's draining on you, and I can't do it. And then I wonder why it happens. A lot of these guys have been married 3 or 4 times. Ah, go figure. All right, Ed. I will talk to you maybe tomorrow evening. Well, no, tomorrow's still. So probably Thursday.
Probably.
So. Sounds good. All right. Hey, have you heard from Robbie lately?
He called in yesterday, but he just listened. He didn't talk.
I haven't talked to him, and it's been almost a month since I talked to the boy. I don't know. It's been a long time. All right. I will talk to you later on, then. Be careful today.
Right now. We'll see you. Well, we're going to wrap it up. That's done for the day. I do an hour every weekday. Tomorrow will be Tiffany and the women over at Neck and Eyes filling in on Wednesdays. They come in on Wednesday, same time, 7 o'clock Eastern time, same number, 515-602-9731. Oh, goodness gracious, I'm losing my voice already. Me and Greg have been going at it here for a while. But, yeah. Boom, let me fix my deal again. There we go. So, yeah, give us a holler. 515-602-9731. We'll be back here. It's a weekday, so we'll see you guys tomorrow. It'll be Tiffany and the women are recognized. I'll be back. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do the show Thursday. I was going to go on the bike night, but it doesn't start till later, so, you know, we'll figure something out. But Friday, for sure, I won't be here because I'll be filling in. We're doing the demo day stuff. So check it out. Renekanize.com is where all our great connections to our YouTube channel and also to our Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter. We're sharing things on Twitter, trying to get out there more. You know, hopefully more free speech is coming around to Twitter, and they won't delete or ban people. So hopefully that'll be coming around pretty soon. A lot of the people that I listen to on the Internet, you know, they have podcasts. They've been banned from Twitter because they're conservative. And just because they say that there's only two genders, they get banned from Twitter. Only just because they say that there are problems with the election and the voting, that, you know, that we need to look at voting. We need to have voter ID. The one guy posted, we need to have voter ID. Well, they blocked that tweet. They deleted it because that's not fair. You know, so bring those people back and get some more free speech out there. You know, the only way to get the only way to stifle hate speech or bad speech is for more free speech. So let's get it out there and let's get it done. This is Renekanize Radio. We're here every day, weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call us 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Bunch of great sponsors we got. Appreciate everybody doing it. Load to Ride Transportation is one of them. LTRtransportation.com. Great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. They're drop dead busy over there. So if you're thinking of getting out there and getting something done, give them a holler at Load to Ride Transportation. It's LTRtransportation.com. So we'll see everybody Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time. And until then, you guys have a great night. This is Renekanize Radio. We'll see y'all later.
So much rhythm, grace, and heaven have of one man's song. you had the nerve to quit this left door. But those knees got the feeling in his head, y'all. Oh, come on, baby.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.